Our text this evening will be taken from Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patient experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Tonight, with God's help, I would like to talk a little bit about spiritual trials. If I asked for a raise of hands, which I'm not going to, but if I asked who likes trials and problems, I don't think anybody would probably raise their hand. There might be an odd person just because they want to stand out may raise their hand. But in general, we don't enjoy trials and we don't enjoy hard times. So the question could be asked, then why do we have to go through hard times? You know, I do realize that hard times can be a subjective word. One may look at something being hard, and another may look at that same situation and don't think that's very hard. You know, when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean everything is going to go your way. We will still face the same challenges that those people in the world face. The nice thing is we have the hope, we have Christ, we have the love and the joy and the peace that He will be with us. But we will still face sickness. We will still face death. There will still be family problems. There will be financial problems. We'll feel anxiety and maybe anxious at times. We may find ourselves worrying about things at times. But we know that the Lord will help us through these times. Psalms 23:4, it reads, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me." You know, that is a promise that we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we don't have to worry because God will be there for us. That word there, valley, is kind of symbolic and it stands out for a difficult circumstances. In our life, we will go through very, very difficult circumstances at times. First, I would like to maybe define what the difference between. There is, of course, a spiritual trial. Another word we could put there is a test. But there's also, we could say, that maybe a man-made trial or problem. I was trying to think of an example of this. And I don't know why this example popped into my head, but I thought of putting gas in your car. If you decided not to put gas in your car and your car runs out of gas, then that would probably be something that you did man-made. It's probably not a trial or something God is happening to you to test you. But I do know there has been testimonies, and I remember enjoying one testimony when I was a kid. But there has been testimony of those that their cars did drive much further than they should have been driving. They should have been out of gas. So we do know that at times, even with gasoline in a car, with divine, God will answer those prayers. The meaning of a spiritual trial or a spiritual test I looked this up, kind of wanted to see exactly what it would say. It says it's a life situation. It also says it's provided by God. We know that nothing bad comes from God, but we know there are many examples in the Bible, even with Job, that God allowed things to happen. It is to evaluate our moral character and obedience to God. Another word there, they use law. But we have to remember a spiritual trial was not to hurt us, but it is to make us stronger, and it is to help us to mature as a Christian. You know, we often have, when we're a kid, we have teachers, we have coaches, we have parents. And often as a kid, they might really be challenging us. At times, we may even think they're really mean. But really, they love us, they care for us, and they're looking out for us. I remember my freshman year, I had a teacher, and I thought he was the meanest teacher ever. Honestly, he wasn't even actually a mean teacher. He was really nice, I realized later. But the reason I thought he was mean was simply because when we would take a test or we would have to turn in our paper, all the answers that we did not get correct, he would make us go back, figure out what we did wrong, and correct them. I was kind of at that point in my life, I just want to take the grade and walk away. I didn't want to have to go back. But I remember at 16 getting a job, and I remember when I didn't do something correct, my boss would make me go back and correct it so it was right. I realized that teacher wasn't being mean. He was actually teaching me a life lesson that in the real world, we have to do something at 100%. It would be frustrating that if we went to a restaurant and they only got 70% of the order right, and you ask them to correct the order and they said, well, that's a C grade and that's passing. You know, we want to make sure that the Lord can help us, and that teachers and coaches and parents, even if at times they're being challenging, it's because they love us. And God also loves us. And that's why he challenges us and sends us trials and spiritual trials that we may mature and become closer to him. One thing we want to be careful is we don't let troubles or discouragements cause us to lose focus. Sometimes we can get so down or discouraged, we start to lose focus on God. Let's look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, we are supposed to consider a trial an opportunity of great joy. It's probably not how we look at a trial. It's probably not how we look at things when we're going through a difficult circumstance. But we should look at this as great joy. You know, it helps to grow our faith. So we need to be tested for our faith to grow. Just like in the most simplest terms, a muscle grows when we break it down. That is why people like to lift weights. And often they try to go to the gym as much as they can because they want to continuously to break those muscles down so they can continuously build back stronger and stronger. When we are tested and our faith is tested, if we allow the Lord to rebuild it, we become stronger and stronger and mature, that we are closer to God. I have an example here, or a story about growing and maturing. My first house that we had, I had a Japanese maple. And I really like the Japanese maple. So when we bought the house that we're in now, the first thing I did is I went and I got three Japanese maples. Two of them had the red leaves and one had green leaves. And I remember having that tree was planted there right out front. And at first it was doing okay. It wasn't doing great. But I did notice there was a kind of a string or a rope around the trunk. And as that tree slowly started to grow, that rope became tighter and tighter around that trunk. To the point I realized that rope had started to grow into the bark. And then it wasn't long I started noticing that half of that Japanese maple was dead. And the part that was not dead wasn't looking very healthy. So I remember I went out there with a screwdriver and I decided I'm going to have to remove that string or that rope. I believe that was choking the nutrients to getting to the tree. And I remember going out there and digging that rope out or that string out of the trunk there and got that all out of there. And I remember going back maybe a couple months later and that tree or that it started to look much better. The reason I even thought about that story was even just a week ago, and that was probably, that would have been almost 15 years ago, probably somewhere in there. And I remember just last week as I stood there and I looked at that, now that Japanese maple, it has a nice big trunk. It's very full and it's growing, it's prospering, you know, and there can be things in our lives that's choking us, that we're not able to mature. And if there is something in our life that is choking us from or preventing us from maturing as a Christian, we need to remove those things from our life that we can also become closer and closer to God. You know, there is one important thing. Our loyalty to God must be number one priority. We cannot divide our loyalty between man and God. Our loyalty must only be to God if we want to be faithful and make heaven our home. Another thing, another word there that was in there, our scripture was obedient. We know being obedient is an act or willingness submitting to the authority of God. You know, the world today, they don't like to submit. But, you know, as Christians, we need to be willing to submit to the authority of God. We have to realize that God loves us and he has whatever we're going through or the trials that we're being tested with. He is doing that because he believes that that will help us to grow stronger. Let's look at John 14:21. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. You know, obeying God must be our highest priority. Obeying God is where we need to be. We need to make sure that we look at the importance of obeying God and being obedient to God and submitting to God's will for our life. As we look at that, as I read there in Romans chapter 5, I also want to read there verse 1 of Romans. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will have peace through Christ. You know, it also mentions there in verse 3 that I read, rejoice when we face problems and tribulations. You know, a tribulation is something that caused distress or suffering. That word also, problems or trials, this will help us once again to build that endurance. Something I also thought was, as I was meditating on this, we want to remember where we came from. We want to remember how we were before God saved us. Often that will help us to build that endurance. That will help us to show where we came from. We don't want to forget as Christians what God has done for us. I realize it is so easy to forget things. Sometimes, you know, as we get going and we get busy in life, and if we don't take that time just to remember the things that the Lord has done for us. Recently, just probably about a month ago, I kind of took the chance or an opportunity to kind of been reading through Revelations and studying the seven churches that were being addressed. And one of the churches I thought was interesting was the Church of Ephesus. One thing I thought about studying these churches was, what can I apply to my own life? You know, they're being addressed. What are things that I can change maybe in my own life? And really, as I looked at this Church of Ephesus here, I almost thought of it being a performance review. You know, maybe at work you might have a review. We don't like reviews unless it's always about something, somebody telling you how good you're doing. We don't like to be told that maybe we can be better at this or better at that. We often, you know, if it's a review, that sometimes can be offensive to us. But, you know, there are times spiritually that we have to allow the Lord to speak to us, that we can grow and allow Him to point out those things in our lives that are hindering us being closer to Him. And one of the things here that was mentioned to this Church of Ephesus is God, first he started out nice there, or John the Revelator there. It says they were hardworking. It also, it uses the word patient. And you know, that word patient often in the Bible or in Greek, it also goes with endurance. It's not just being patient, but it's enduring. It's not quitting. It's not giving up. And he was giving them a thing saying, you guys are hardworking, you're patient, and you're not quitters. But he also said there is one complaint. He says, you don't love me as much as you did as when I originally saved you. And you don't love the people around me. You know, we want to remember that we don't just want to be going through the motions, but we want to make sure that daily that we remember where we came from and we still have that same love and joy the day that Jesus saved us. Romans 8:6, it reads, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. In closing tonight, you know, life is full of choices. And those choices or decisions are up to us. We get to decide if we are going to follow God or if we're not going to follow God. We get to decide if we're going to allow the Lord to be part of our life or we are not going to allow the Lord to be part of our life. That is our choice. You know, one last story in closing tonight. Just probably about a month ago, Ezra was working out in the garage. And I mentioned earlier about weightlifting. He loves to lift weights. We have a small gym there in the garage. And he was doing what they call a power clean. And for those who don't know what a power clean is, it's just taking a barbell and powering it up to your shoulders. Well, if you're trying to go heavier and heavier, it's hard to power it that high. So they that's called a power clean. He was trying to do what they call a squat clean, which means you try to catch the bar in a squat position because your legs are stronger and then you'll be able to stand up with the bar. But as he was doing this, he dropped the bar on his hand. And I remember he called me right away and said, Dad, I really hurt my hand bad. And he sent me a picture of it. And then literally there was a golf ball size lump on the top of his hand. So we took him to the doctor, took him there to the emergency department. The doctor looked at it. And the first really true miracle to me was there was nothing broken. But the doctor did say, you're probably not going to be able to do anything for at least 2 weeks. And this really bummed him out. He was like, he's an active kid. He loves to do things. Knowing that he wouldn't be able to use his hands for two weeks, he just wasn't taking that very well. And he kind of was laying there on the couch, just wasn't real happy. And I said, well, there is one thing you can do. I said, you know, you can take one of our church magazines, you can put that under your pillow, and I believe the Lord can heal you and make it all better. And so that night, he took that church magazine, he put it under his pillow, and you know, he woke up, and that hand was much, much better. And then one day later, he was back to working out. It was a little bit bruised, but he could move all his fingers. He had complete mobility of that hand. And, you know, the Lord was, he was tested, but the Lord built his faith through that. And what was amazing was just even last week, he mentioned to me that his back was hurt a little bit. I said, you know, you can put that magazine back under your pillow. And he said, Dad, I leave it under my pillow all the time now. I don't ever take it away from underneath my pillow. And you know, that's why the Lord does things for us. He tests us. We go through trials. But you know what? It teaches us that, you know what? The Lord cares for us. And just like that simple magazine under the pillow and faith believing, that gave him something he will remember the rest of his life. That will go with him, and that will build his faith, and that will help him to draw closer and closer to God. Let's take advantage tonight of the altars of prayer. We're going to sing 571, and the altars are open.